this.
BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Boston Herald columnist and radio hitman.
Howie is sort of an insidious force in this area.
By the way, do we have Howie Carr?
He's around here someplace. Where's Howie? Where is Howie?
You know Howie Carr?
Howie, where the hell are you? The legendary Howie. He's got that radio going.
We love Howie Carr.
I was referred to today as 1970s Boston.
Hey, paperboy.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
He's a good guy, isn't he, though?
Live from sunny Florida,
Lago Lago,
it's Howie Carr.
Is this the new city anthem of the city of Worcester? But it's a very big day. The social event of the season is this evening, and it is happening from 5:30 to 7:30 tonight at Danny's Queer Bar, 909 Boylston Street in the Back Bay, Boston, celebrating Judge Connor Baruch. That's the first transgender judge.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
Connor Baruch, formerly known as Margaret Baruch. Now it's Connor Baruch. And their pronouns. They were nominated by Mara Holdit Healy, and they were approved by the governor's council, even though one of the governor's counselors from the Bristol County area, from the South Coast, was overheard on a Zoom call muttering about it, about something about the tail wagging the dog or some such thing. So, but anyway, that's the event of the evening, Danny's Queer Bar from 5:30 to 7:30. Be there or be square. Excuse me, I got it wrong. You can see I tweeted out the invitation earlier today. It's got the rainbow flag on it and everything. So check it out. And of course, that pales though in comparison to what happened last night at the city council meeting in Worcester. And let me put it this way: I walked in here today, and people at Newsmax in Florida, we're in Boca Raton, we're a good lengthy distance from Wormtown. And people were asking me, what is Worcester like? What the hell was going on last night? And I said, I don't know. But I saw it. I saw everything. You've seen some of this stuff. And I don't know. I mean, Taylor, you didn't even break this stuff out. You just cut it up into segments. You didn't try to, you know, bring out some of the trans something in the purple hair or the guy who said he was afraid and that he was both a T and a G or a T and a B or
whatever. Well, I still would have been segmenting those cuts if I were to do that, and I would have spent more time figuring out what to call these people than it's worth. So I thought I'd try to save the company a little money. I'm sorry.
It was just we just play a couple of these cuts. You just got to hear this stuff. I mean, this is crazy. I hope they will be playing the entire. I think you know, in some bars they have like loops of video. You know, like there's an Italian restaurant on Hanover Street that plays old Italian language mob movies. It's kind of interesting. So it'd be nice if Danny's Queer Bar would just put this entire 5-minute loop on tonight for the celebration of Judge Connor, don't call me Margaret anymore, Baruch. But anyway, here's cut one from the Worcester City Council, and this was all about apparently they have a city councilor there who was is trans, and the trans councilor said that he's been disrespected by some of the people at City Hall. So they decided to make Worcester in terms of, I think, reparations. And if I'm wrong about this, I apologize. I haven't been following it very closely, nor have you, I dare say. But I think this was a way to make reparations to the trans city councilor by making the city a sanctuary city. Sanctuary cities have worked out so splendidly, haven't they? We've got a story about a sanctuary county in Maryland later on where they let a guy come. He's been deported 2-3 times, comes back. He just pleaded guilty to raping little girls. He was a church teacher. An illegal alien in a sanctuary city. But anyway, this is a trans sanctuary city. The city of Worcester, the second, I believe it's the second largest city in New England. Cut 24.
I need the city to protect me because the federal government won't. And if you think you're afraid of Trump, you should see how afraid of Trump I am.
Can you wrap up, please?
Yes, I can. If you say that you're afraid of Trump and that's why you don't want the city to be a safe space for trans people, you better prepare for trans people to make this a very unsafe space.
I'm shaking right now. I don't want to be here. I'm sorry. Am I taking too long pleading for my life?
You remembered how many children I have and how many, and that two of them are trans.
I speak as both the B and the T in the LGBT.
This guy goes about 250.
I'm multiply disabled. I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a connective tissue disorder that causes me immense physical pain. I'm on the autism spectrum, and I have narcolepsy, and I couldn't drive myself here, so I had to hide from my driver that I was in drag, which is not an easy thing to do in drag.
She likes to sleep. But it's not a problem, though, getting up in the morning to go to a job. Not the way she looks. He looks. Whatever it is. Let's go with the next one. Cut 25.
I do not want to be here. It's my day off. I do not want to be
From
in
what?
Your DMs. I do not want to be in your email inboxes. I do not want my creativity writing diss tracks like Kendrick.
Creativity.
I don't want to spend an hour applying glitter on my face so that you will hear and see me. I want you to listen to me.
Let us remember that the Nazis burned the books that the Nazis burned books on gender sciences.
This guy's reading from
first.
A cell phone.
Now the
Can't
administration has villainized
Kamala
and marginalized
Harris.
Migrant workers, trans, LGBT people,
no,
and
like Joe
even
Biden, I guess.
Special needs, denying life-saving and affirming care.
Can you look at me and tell me how many of my friends need to die before you do anything?
Please wrap
look
up.
Look at me.
Okay, we're all done here.
Fucking pathetic.
This is in a Massachusetts city, the second largest city in the Commonwealth. May God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
The LGBTQ community.
And who's being killed in Worcester? Who's being killed anywhere? And what has Trump said that frightens them so much? What are they worried about? And what is that guy with the glitter? Is that guy got that guy with the blonde highlights in his hair? Has he got like a 5 o'clock shadow there, Taylor? Or what the hell's going on with his chin?
Oh, there was one that had some heavy makeup that was supposed to look like 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, that's
female.
What it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what that was the one that was the glitter. Went away from the glitter.
Right.
It's talked about the glitter. Okay. 339, does the judge have new plumbing? I do not know. I've never inquired. I never had any desire to be on the governor's council so I could ask questions like that during the hearing process. 8445, do you think these people are really from Worcester? Cut 26.
Be aware that you are a guest in my house. When you come, and when you come,
house?
Know that there are strong,
you live at City Hall?
Queer and trans people in my classroom who will collect you with the quickness.
My name in drag is Dee Dee Delight. And my name out of drag is Dewey Cosgrove Atienza.
Ladia LaRouge, he, they, in drag, District 3.
My legal name is Olivia D'Ambrosio. My public name is Livy Scanlon. My wife and I own a home in the Canal District.
I speak as someone who is always misgendered, like, all the time. People refer to me as sir when I prefer to be referred to as ma'am.
He looks like a linebacker.
I speak as someone who is afraid to use public toilets.
I'd be afraid to be in a public toilet with you.
Who is a member of this community and is a queer person.
You have to imagine being me and my wife, fearing that our marriage rights will be stripped away at any moment.
When who's going to do that? Who said they were going to do that? Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be standing room only tonight at Danny's Queer Bar when they have the celebration for Judge Connor Baruch. 844-500-4242. 617, the best part of the cut was, please wrap it up. I know. And you know, they're in Worcester. I mean, they're used to this nonsense. They've had some elected officials that went that way. And appointed officials. And they've become accustomed to this sort of thing. And they couldn't take it. Nor who could? Who could? We have the option of muting the sound, or turning the dial, or just cutting it off. That's a bad choice of words, cutting it off. But you know, when you're sitting there and you're an elected official, you just gotta listen, and you can't say anything. 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. We'll take some calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Trump goes after the president of Ukraine, while the Department of Government Efficiency makes cuts to a 9/11 program. And guess who's lighting up theaters one last time?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump is criticizing Ukrainian President Zelensky on social media. In a Truth Social post, Trump described Zelensky as a, quote, modestly successful comedian who talked the U.S. into going into a war that couldn't be won. This comes a day after Trump suggested Ukraine started the war with Russia. Trump went on to call Zelensky, quote, a dictator without elections, and claimed he, quote, is very low in Ukrainian polls. He also said the Ukraine-Russia war is more important to Europe than the U.S., and noted, quote, we have a big, beautiful ocean as separation. An illustration posted on social media by the White House depicts President Trump wearing a king's crown. The caption of the post quotes Trump saying, quote, congestion pricing is dead. Manhattan and all of New York is saved. Long live the king. That was taken from a post on Truth Social by Trump. The illustration is reminiscent of a Time magazine cover. It shows a grinning Trump in front of New York City with the words, long live the king, in the lower left corner. Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency is making major cuts to the World Trade Center Health Program. The program provides medical treatment for the 132,000 first responders and survivors of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, despite Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. pledging to help 9/11 survivors. DOGE has laid off 20% of the WTC health program staff. New York Attorney General Letitia James called the cuts reckless and cruel. Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand are demanding a reversal of the decision, saying those who answered the call on 9/11 and are now sick with respiratory ailments, cancer, and other conditions, and they must be taken care of. Two people are dead after a mid-air collision between two small planes in southern Arizona. Police said it happened on Wednesday morning. It's unclear what led up to the incident. The FAA and NTSB are investigating. Federal authorities have busted what they say is a criminal ring, breaking into the homes of prominent pro athletes. U.S. Attorney's Office says the seven men from Chile were members of a South American group that burglarized homes of NFL and NBA stars in Kansas City, Tampa, Memphis, and Cincinnati from October through December. An unsealed indictment says the suspects stole more than $2 million worth of valuables. And legendary comedy duo Cheech and Chong will light up movie theaters one final time this spring. The first trailer for Cheech and Chong's last movie was released on Wednesday. It shows Cheech and Chong driving through the desert while reminiscing about their careers. The duo has made more than two dozen movies together, dating back to their 1978 debut, Up in Smoke. Cheech and Chong's last movie will have a limited release on April 20th, followed by a nationwide release on April 25th.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics visit the 76ers in Philadelphia tonight, tip-off at 7. And then on Saturday, regular season resumes for the NHL. Bruins hosting the Ducks with a 7 o'clock puck drop.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mainly cloudy today. A slim chance of snow showers as a storm passes south. A high of 30. On Friday, partly cloudy. A high of 35. On Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny with temperatures peaking around 40 degrees. And that takes us into next week. Partly cloudy for Monday with a high of 42. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And a very good morning to you. If it doesn't sound like Tim, it's not. It's Brian. Tim is off today, needs the day off. We expect him back tomorrow. Got to put up with me, I guess. Some more. And I'm not sure about the Barry show today, since I'm in for Tim today. And of course, we've got Freedom Fools at 6 o'clock. Since I just got the call to see if I could come in, I got to be honest with you. There are a few things that I had planned for later that I think I might want to save for later. But there's something that is today, an historical event. And I thought, you know, it's kind of something fun to talk about at this particular time of the morning. So the event in and of itself, 1792. The U.S. Postal Service was created. Do you realize back then a postage stamp cost anywhere from 6 to 12 cents? And it was done on distance. Not necessarily, you know, first-class mail, bulk mail, or they probably didn't have that kind of designation back then. But a postage stamp was anywhere from 6 to 12 cents, depending on how far, I guess, the pony or whomever was taking it. And so I can remember the first time that I had to deal with the stamp. I believe it was a nickel. And I want to guesstimate that George Washington was on that 5-cent stamp. Maybe you could remember. In fact, So that leads to first time that you ever mailed a letter or had to lick the back of a stamp and put it on an envelope. How much was it? And compare it to what it is today. And that leads to a broader question of do we still need the U.S. Postal Service? And I've got to be upfront about this. My former brother-in-law is, or was, I should say, he might be the chairman of the Postal Commission still, or again, but at one particular time, he was the chairman of the Postal Commission under President Trump. So I wonder, you know, never mind him. I guess I should wonder, does he still have a job? And if I'm dozing, that might be a group that I say, hey, look, you've exhausted your time. It's time that we let the private sector take over mailing. I mean, we use the private sector to mail packages of all types, whether it's an Amazon, United Parcel Service, FedEx, Dingbat Express, DHL, all of those kind of companies. So why not do the same thing for first class mail? So a couple of things for you, if you're so inclined, at 508-996-0500. Is it time to say goodbye to the U.S. Postal Service on its, I don't know how many years, it was born in 1792. I think George Washington actually signed on the dotted line for it. And do you remember how much you had to pay for that first stamp? Or I think that first stamp came from one of Mom's little rolls. She used to go out and buy rolls of stamps. And I just used one and I mailed whatever it was that I mailed. Nickel. Nickel for a stamp. What was it like for you? And the other thing that I was thinking about, I've had this on my mind for quite some time. You know how busy our legislature is. They're working on illegal immigration. They're working on whether we should tax soda or tax this or tax that. There is actually a bill that was filed on January 23rd. And I'm trying to figure out the exact title of this bill. It says, whereas gender discrimination is wrong. I think most of us agree on that. Gender discrimination is wrong. And whereas the female body should not be stigmatized or fetishized. I've never heard that word before, fetishized. Therefore, Massachusetts General Law, Chapter 272, Section 16, shall be amended to remove the words female breast. And equality of chest bearing shall be the new law in Massachusetts. Look, if that's what a woman wants to do, all the power to her. I'm not sure there are too many women that want to walk around without something covering their chest. But I agree that it is one of those equal rights type of thing. Now, I know the story, you know, boys or guys see a woman topless, they're going to be ogling and doing all that kind of stuff. It is about fairness, though. You know, we talked about this, dealing with fairness in sports, dealing with should boys be allowed to play on girls' sports teams. Well, in the Commonwealth, they are allowed to play on girls' sports team if there is not a comparable sport for boys. Field hockey is the game that often comes up, and they allow boys to play on, you know, heterosexual boys to play on girls' field hockey teams. There are a lot of complaints about it, but it is a part of the law here in the Commonwealth. And so, I think a couple of women, you know, were interested in filing this bill. I don't know too many men that are out there doing it. Women, I guess they want the opportunity to walk around topless just like men can walk around topless. Now, I know there are going to be people that have a problem with it. But I see videos, not dirty videos, but videos from other countries where women do have that equality to walk around topless. And at least in the videos that I'm watching, I'm not trying to say that something doesn't happen around the corner outside of the camera's lens. But people just seem to be going about their own business. There is a big debate about should women be able to go topless at the beach because they don't want a tan line. And I guess Nantucket ruled not too long ago that it would be okay. So I bring it to you. Should we allow? Isn't that something? Should we allow women to do as men do and walk around topless if they so desire? Not every man walks around topless, but the man has the option to do so. So these are some thoughts running through my head on a very time to wake up type of Thursday morning. 508-996-0500. And we can get serious a little bit later on. But, you know, it was filed by State Senator Jacqueline Wehje, Wehtje. Don't know who she is. But the bill is in there. And it looks like our representatives will somehow take it up. You know, it goes into one committee, then probably another. Hey, the committee on chest bearing, the committee on bathing suit tops, the committee on gender affirmation. Who knows how many committees before it finally makes it to the House floor. And it may never. It may just stay in study, but here's a particular instance with everything that is going on. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, shouldn't we include women and give them at least the option, not the obligation, but the option if they want to go around topless? Again, you know, sad reality to have to say it like this. If you do something like that, there could be some consequence. 508-996-0500. Hello.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
What a surprise. You're in the morning, huh?
Yeah, I'm surprised, too.
If they want to go topless, go right ahead. Wear a tie.
Wear a tie?
Wear a tie. Go into the office. That's what you want to do. And then they're going to complain. Everybody's looking at them.
They're complaining that everybody looks at them the way it is.
Hey, you have to play a soundbite. It's an embarrassment. Senator Edward Markey. Ed Markey was on with Gene Bellicenti on WJAR. You can probably get it on YouTube. He's inciting violence and revolution against King Donald.
Well, at least you know
his
he's
words,
a king.
Not mine.
At least you know the guy's a king.
Yeah. Well, you got to play for everybody to hear. This is an embarrassment.
I don't know that I can get it at this particular time, but why don't you tell me, give me the gist of what he stated.
The gist is he was interviewed by Gene Bellicenti regarding, what he felt about Trump, and Senator Ed Markey said he's King Donald, and we need to protest, and we need a revolution in this country. He says, what do you mean? You an armed conflict? He went on to say a revolution.
Well, so I think you're witnessing it. I think you're living the revolution right now.
Well, I mean, they made a big stink about Donald Trump and insurrectionists on January 6th, and now we got Ed Markey that's trying to have people up in arms with firearms and violence and revolt against our government, and nothing's being done about it.
Oh, it just started. When did Markey make these comments?
I think it was this week. You can pull it up on YouTube. That's what they were saying on... I was listening to Gene, and he said he had an interview. Pull up the clip. This is the type of people we have representing our city. An embarrassment. Ed Markey.
Well, Ed Markey represents our state.
Yeah, well, and he also represents our city.
I guess you can look at it that way, yeah. Well, when was the last time he was here?
I mean, they should put him in jail in handcuffs.
Really? Because he called Donald Trump. He called Donald Trump King Trump.
King Donald, and that he's overriding Congress and the courts.
And you arrest him for that?
Says that you need protest and you need a revolution.
All of those are legal things to say. I don't know. I mean, what grounds do you arrest him on?
Insurrection.
He didn't. He wasn't insurrecting. He called for a revolution.
Well, you play the clip and you see for yourself.
Fair enough. Do me a favor.
WKAR.
Do me a favor. Do me a favor.
Gene Bellicenti.
Do a favor. Do me a favor. First time you mailed a letter. How much was that postage stamp? Okay. You what? Couldn't answer that one for us. 508-996-0500. Do you know about the comment on another program where Ed Markey was calling out? Look, I think there are lots of, especially Democrats, calling out the new president. And I didn't want to get so hard and heavy so early in the morning. But apparently the other day there was an executive order that was signed. And the president was on hand, which stands to reason. He's going to sign the executive order. And then one of his attorneys who helped write the executive order did a brief explanation of that executive order.
Lastly, we have another executive order that President Trump signed relating to independent agencies. This executive order would establish important oversight functions in the Office of Management and Budget and its subsidiary office, OIRA, supervising independent agencies and many of their actions, and also reestablishes the longstanding norm that only the president or the attorney general can speak for the United States when stating an opinion as to what the law is.
What was that? Longstanding. Only the president and the attorney general can speak to what is law in the United States. Am I missing something here? I thought that's why we had a court system. I thought that's why we had U.S. attorneys. There are a lot of U.S. attorneys that do cases that the attorney general doesn't know about. We also have state attorneys general. They speak to law. What about the police? Are the police supposed to wait to hear what President Trump or the U.S. attorney general says is law and then act upon it. Which brings us back to some of the things. Certain states have laws or don't have a law where the federal government may have a law and vice versa. What is going on here? I just want to make sure I understand what this attorney representing the White House and the president is saying here.
Lastly, we have another executive order that President Trump signed relating to independent agencies. This executive order would establish important oversight functions in the Office of Management and Budget and its subsidiary office, OIRA, supervising independent agencies and many of their actions, and also reestablishes the longstanding norm that only the president or the attorney general can speak for the United States when stating an opinion as to what the law is.
Stating an opinion as to what the law is. And I have never voted for Markey, but that sounds pretty much like what a king would do. A jester might also state 508-996-0500. That's pretty heavy for the 6 o'clock hour, but it's out there for you if you'd like to comment one way or the other. Also, should the Bay State allow women to go topless in public? In public. There is actually a bill up on Bacon Hill that would change the wording of certain things that would remove female breast so as to allow women to go topless in public. I'm okay with it. It's equal. If a guy can do it, why can't a woman? I'm not suggesting that they do. And all this does, it gives women the option, if they decide to want to be topless in public, the option to do so. There is no obligation, just an option. Should we give them the option to do what men are already able and capable of doing? And that is to walk around topless. You know, let's say you live in an apartment complex and it's a hot, sunny day and you're taking the trash from your apartment to the dumpster and you don't want to put on a shirt because you've been sitting around the house topless. Nobody else is really looking at you. And then you want to go dump the trash. Should you be able to do that topless? Now, it doesn't mean that people won't look and wonder and go, oh, stuff like that. But there are women that look at men that are topless and they go, oh, look at that. What's good for the goose should also be good for the goose's gander. 508-996-0500, Brian in for Tim.
Beth.
Welcome back to the Tim Weisberg Show. Brian in this morning for Tim. And I got a few things out there on the table for you real early in the morning. One deals with the fact that today is the anniversary of the United States Postal Service. A stamp back then was between 6 cents and 12, depending on where you were mailing it to. I remember my first stamp, a nickel. And so I'm asking, first time that you mailed a letter, how much was that postage stamp? The larger question on top of that is, here we are on February 20th, 2025. Has the Postal Service outlived its existence? In other words, we're doing dozing at Elon Musk and Donald Trump. They're doing dozing. Should the Postal Service be dozed? Do we need the post office? Do we need the downtown post office in New Bedford? Do we need the one on Mount Pleasant? The post office that I'm familiar with in Dartmouth, which is in the little strip mall by, the Sephora and Kohl's. Are these postal service operations still necessary? They seem to cost us a lot of money. So I'm asking, should we dismiss the postal service and let private enterprise take over for mailing letters? In fact, I don't know how many people still mail letters. I know folks mail Christmas cards and Hanukkah cards and stuff like that, but I'm not sure how often somebody mails a letter. I was at the post office, the one in Dartmouth. I should say North Dartmouth. About 5 weeks ago, and I needed to do a mailing, and it cost $1.51 for an envelope. Not, you know, there may have been six sheets of 8.5 by 11 paper in them. You know, nothing that large, but apparently it weighed a lot. It weighed a little bit more than it needed to, and $1.51. And I remember looking up at the lady who was helping me, and I said, $1.51? She goes, yeah. And, you know, she explained, I brought my own envelope, so that had nothing to do with it. But I was shocked that it cost that much. So I am asking, is it time that we eliminate the postal service? Hello.
Hey, Brian. How are you doing?
Hey, Brian. Brian is. Excellent. Thank you.
You know, as you bring up the thing about stamps, in 1963, my sister got married. So we were stuffing all the envelopes to mail out with the invitations and all that. And if we tucked the flap in, we could use the purple 4-cent Lincoln stamp. But if we sealed it, we had to use the new blue Washington stamp. And I can remember being a little kid, I got in trouble because I sealed about 5 or 6 envelopes. And my sister screamed at me, "We have to put 5-cent stamps on those now." I have no idea what the reason was, if it wasn't sealed, why it was a penny less. But I can still remember that we were just joking about it a while ago, my sister and I.
Wow. So do you think we still need the Postal Service?
You know, the service that I get from them as of late, other than packages, I like their idea with packages. They always bring them to the door and they'll ring the bell, whereas everybody else just tosses them on the porch or puts them on the bottom of the stairs.
I suppose they put it in the mailbox, too, if it's a letter.